Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm just peachy. How about yourself?
Good. I'm good. I think it's going to rain again today, and that'll be good. So we want to talk a little bit before our guest comes on about podcasts, because I wanted to learn how to do them, and Brian was kind enough to put me through a training course he has. And so I was surprised at how intimidating it can be, and yet once you do it once or twice, it's very user-friendly. So thank you, Brian, for doing that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And what I found was, I think the hardest part for me was getting over using this microphone thing that looks like it's out of Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like it's going to take off and run around the room or something, because it's just intimidating. And you told me, you know, just do it. Just do it a couple of times. Just do it. And then, you know, you'll be past that. And that worked so well.
Yeah, it takes just a little time and practice. And like anything else, I mean, you know, the difference is I owned a recording studio for years. So, you know, the whole recording and editing audio for me was, you know, like getting on a bike. But for a lot of people, you know, it involves technology. And a lot of people, you know, between getting the mic in and then using a program like Audacity or something else, and then, you know, creating an intro and an outro, and, you know, and then changing it, editing it, and turning it into an MP3, then getting it up on, you know, the software you need for the podcast, and so on and so forth. Yeah, it takes, you know, there's some steps to it. But once you learn the steps, it's not that hard.
Right, and what you were able to do, and so this is a plug for you. But what Brian can do, which is so great, is he can technical to me and like, I don't want to do that. That sounds too hard. But what he's able to do is when you're on the phone with him, he can take this and break it down into very doable steps. And so step one, you know, is you bring up this particular software package and you go through it. And once I figured out that it wasn't as difficult as I thought, because I didn't know what an outro was, or I knew what an intro was, but I didn't understand what an outro was. And it's just the beginning and the end of your podcast. And basically, my podcasts are the blogs that I've written. They're just commentaries on things that I find interesting, and I put them in a format where people can listen to them when they're working out, or they can listen to them when they're going to work or in their car, or, you know, whenever it's most convenient for them. So it's a great marketing tool. It really is a great marketing tool.
It's a great way to repurpose the content you already have, too. You know, that's the nice thing about it, is you're using content you've already created, so you don't have to. You're not going to get writer's block about what to say.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because I have a bunch of stuff that I've written, and I just went back to it and started, you know, just going over it and making it more conversational. And the other nice thing about it is you can't break this. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can break this. You can just do it over, or just record over it. So
It's once you get the flow, it's relatively easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how many have you done?
Well, actually, I just celebrated my 6-month anniversary, and I'm on my 52nd and 53rd podcast this week.
Yay! That is so great. And you've been doing them for 6 months. That's all.
6 months. Yeah, only six months.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We should see
Brian. Time flies when you're having fun, though.
Well, I mean, you have a command center, though. I mean, your office looks like NASA. You've got all these, you know, gadgets and screens, and, I mean, it's very impressive.
Thank you.
Me, I'm sitting here with my MacBook Air. I'm really glad that I know how to turn it on, so.
Yeah, well, you got to start somewhere. Speaking of starting
we
somewhere,
do.
Our guest is here.
Yeah.
And, hey, Marika, are you with us?
I certainly am.
And did I say your name properly? Is that right? Am I remembering it?
Yeah, Marika.
Thank you. Okay, that's what I thought it was. Well, anyways, everybody, welcome Marika Hamilton. And Marika, why don't you tell us a little bit about your backstory that you you went through your cancer and then how you started into building up your business with the stores and things like that.
Well, let's see. I've been a lifelong entrepreneur. I mean, starting from sixth grade on the school bus selling candy. That was just kind of my thing. I like to put raw materials in the top, turn the handle, and have some money fall out the bottom. And that's just been how I've been programmed my whole life. So started my first official business at 19, rolled that into family business, and stayed there for, gosh, 15 years. And we basically took a computer software company that was started on our kitchen table and created into a $6 million company. So that was a big part of my adult life. Sold that in 2006 and brought a new franchise restaurant chain to the city where I live, and have been doing that ever since, or I should say up until the point we got kind of blown away. We have always have a pretty ambitious plan for our life and our future and retirement and where we see ourselves going, and was kind of devastated to receive a stage 3 cancer diagnosis. So that kind of shifted things on us and made us to relook at priorities and where we wanted to go with our life for sure.
Yeah, that's a definite life changer, no question about it.
Yeah.
So how did you deal with that, and how did you transition through it and all that stuff?
Well, there's a lot to that question. You know, anytime
mm-hmm.
you have a traumatic diagnosis, whether it's cancer or anything else, I mean, there's a lot to this process emotionally. I mean, a lot of priorities to figure out. I declined conventional treatment, so there was, you know, that was a big decision in itself, but then the next big decision was, okay, if I'm declining conventional treatment, what am I going to do? So that's really where the stress kind of started for me, and I've kind of realized through this whole journey that, you know, healing is so much more than physical, and I find that a lot of us kind of go through life kind of doing the roles we think we're supposed to do. We go through high school, most of us go to college, we end up getting married, we have kids, we buy the house, and then you get to 30 and you're like, whoa, okay, all of these life-changing life firsts have happened in such a condensed amount of time in your 20s, and then you get to 30 and you're like, whoa, you know, I'm kind of bored now. You know, what am I supposed to be doing with my life, and who am I, and where am I going? And I was very much in that kind of rut of not really thinking past, you know, those roles that I thought I was supposed to do, and really not able to see, you know, who I was and kind of what made my soul resonate with the work that I wanted to be doing.
Mm-hmm. So you were telling me this story about when we first talked about you were looking for a new location for one of your stores, but the location was taken. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I talk to, you know, a lot of people around the country, and I do talk to people a lot on, like, health and wellness, but really my main focus is, like I said before, is really trying to find out, like, what resonates with your soul and what really the options are available in the universe in terms of the directions you want to take with your life. And we have over 100 employees with the restaurants that we have now, so we have a lot of kids. When I say kids, I mean kids under, you know, between the ages of 18 and 25. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to mentor and coach these kids. And one of the stories that I share both with, you know, people that I speak with, but also with our staff, is that there's so much more opportunity than ever meets the eye. And when we were looking to open a downtown location, my husband and I went downtown and we literally scouted, you know, all the locations and really couldn't come up with anything that we were real excited about. And, you know, with a restaurant especially, you know, it's location, location, location. If you're going to make that kind of investment, you better make sure you get the location right. Otherwise, it's not worth pulling the trigger. So, like I said, we couldn't find anything we were excited about, and we decided to kind of reapproach where we were looking and how we were looking. And so our new approach was is to not necessarily look at what was available, but to look at the downtown area with a new set of eyes. And those set of eyes meant that we were looking to see if we could be anywhere, have any location, where would we end up being? Where would we choose? What's the golden spot, you know, in downtown that we would want a restaurant to be in? So we both did that, and we both came up with the same location. And unfortunately, it was a coffee shop and an ongoing operation that wasn't available. So, you know, for most people, the story would end there because that space wasn't available. But we were managed to get a hold of the building owner, who managed to put us in touch with the owner of the coffee shop. We then took it a step further and contacted the coffee shop owner, kind of expecting to be brushed off and like he was going to be offended at us approaching him. But as it turned out, this is in September, they were barely breaking even. They had another 2 years on their lease. They were just staying open because if they broke the lease, they'd be out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. He was over the moon to actually transfer the lease to us. That was September. They were closed down, moved out, and we took possession October 1st. And I'd like to share that as an example that sometimes you just got to keep on knocking on the doors and keep on pursuing what it is you want, because there is a way. But we, you know, perception is not always reality unless you choose it to be.
Boy, that's a very powerful story, because that is so true. When you have something that you can see in your mind's eye, and you know that it's true and it's true to you, but the outside world just keeps saying no, you can't do this, and you keep thinking of ways to make this happen. That to me is the real human experience. Don't you agree?
Well, I think it kind of goes both ways, and I get a little bit torn, and there's some discerning that needs to happen, because sometimes the universe is trying to get you to go in another direction, but you don't want to listen.
Right.
And, I mean, that was very much so the case with my cancer. Is my everything in my intuition was basically telling me I was going to die, and I had 3 mammograms. I had a doctor's visit that said everything was fine and that, you know, I was cancer-free. I had a 4th mammogram that came back after I found the lump in my breast, and it said that I was cancer-free, no change from prior mammograms, and it was my intuition that was just grinding me. I mean, it was it was the weird things, like I all of a sudden was, like, very concerned about what our will said, and I didn't have any idea I had cancer, but this is the months leading up before I got the diagnosis. How were our wills set up? You know, was my husband a signer on all the accounts? Could he access the payroll company? All of these types of things, and in a subtle background, I believe because I was ignoring my intuition, my intuition was then trying to prepare me for something else, which unfortunately was dying. I had an experience where after I got that 4th mammogram, which was about 9 months after my doctor said that the lump in my breast is just, you know, normal breast tissue change, I got that 4th mammogram. I was really relieved to hear that, you know, no cancer, no change. You know, I'm like, okay, thank God. But a few days later, we were going to bed, and as I reached over to kiss my husband goodnight, my hand grazed across my breast, and I was filled with a sense of dread. I mean, the hair, right, still, when I retell the story, the hair stands up on the back of my neck, and I was really confused because I didn't know where this feeling came from and why I felt this way, because I was calm and peaceful and happy, and now all of a sudden I just have that feeling of my anxiety, like, pulsing through my body. And as I kind of thought back over, you know, why do I feel this way? What was I just thinking about? What just happened? I realized it was when my hand touched my breast that I had that awful feeling. And that was a Sunday night, and I told my husband then, I said, I'm going back to the doctor tomorrow. And by Friday, I had a cancer diagnosis. And because my cancer had been missed by 4 mammograms and my doctor, I was now stage 3. So I think, you know, it works in both ways. I think sometimes we have to keep on pushing because that's what our intuition tells us to do. But sometimes we also have to understand that we're being pushed in a different direction, and life can get uncomfortable if we choose to sort of not want to accept, you know, what we're being given.
So how is this, I know this is probably a very difficult question to answer, but, you know, how has this changed you?
Oh, my gosh. That is the million-dollar question and answer. I believe that cancer, you know, saved my life. It is a gift that unfolds for me a little bit more each day, and I am so, so grateful that I didn't get this gift when I was 80. I got this gift when I was 41, and at 41, I have a chance to have my eyes open to not only what life is, but who I am and what my soul needs. If I got that gift at 80, it'd be too late. So thank God I have it. Thank God I have it now. So it has changed. It's changed everything in my life. It's changed my career 100%. I did an exercise once where you were supposed to kind of journal back and forth to your conditions. And for my case, it was cancer. And I thought it sounded a little hokey, but I thought, well, what the heck, I'll try and do it. So I started writing, you know, dear cancer, how's it going? I didn't really know what to write, but
right,
I kept with it, and it started flowing as journaling, you know, often does, which is why journaling is so important. And so I asked it, I said, so how am I doing? And the cancer wrote back and said, you're doing fine. You just need to relax and enjoy life. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm cancer-free?
Right.
Does that mean this? I mean, what if I stop doing what I'm doing right now and blah, blah, blah? And the cancer wrote back to me and said, what you need to understand is that you're no longer doing what you're doing to get past cancer. You're doing what you're doing. You need to change your perspective. You're doing what you're doing so you can have a long, healthy life. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty deep. And then cancer asked me one other question. It said, Marika, do you need cancer in your life in order to justify being your own priority? And that one was a moment where the hair just stood up on the back of my neck, and I realized, oh, my God, I did need cancer. I needed cancer in order to justify making myself a priority, to take care of me, to live life as me and be okay being me. And that's been the biggest gift of all. So my life has just completely changed.
So are you saying that your business kind of ran your life for a while? Was that before the cancer diagnosis? Was that kind of the gist of it?
I would say, and, you know, I love my parents very, very much, but I was kind of raised in a family that if you weren't doing something that was productive or that made money, it wasn't really approved of. So there wasn't a lot of playtime or things like that. It had to be, like, producing something. And so I didn't have the awareness that that's kind of the trap and the role that I was in. So, yes, very much. I didn't really know how to have fun or how to relax or even to really give myself permission to, like, sit down and read a book just for fun. So yes, the business was my life because I kind of felt like that was the only thing that was kind of approved of. So that's what I did because I was a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you take care of yourself now? What do you do?
Well, I do a lot of detoxification. I do a lot of personal development work. And my husband and I have always sort of been into personal development, but this is like cranked it up so many more levels. I realized as well that I had a lot of fear, and I never really wanted to talk about the fear that I had because to me it was kind of shameful. But the more I talk about the fear that I experienced, you know, first of all, it's like the fear of not having money and not being successful. And then when you do get money and you are successful, then the fear is, oh, what if I screw up and lose all this money? And it's like this never-ending sort of like insecurity that, you know, you're not going to make it, or things aren't going to work out the way that you want them to, or you're going to lose everything that you have. And that really became overwhelming to me, and I think was a big part to what sort of wore my body down. And, you know, mm-hmm. you end up with adrenal fatigue and your immune system mm-hmm. suffers, because every time you have a stress response, you know, just like the lion chasing that zebra, the zebra, you know, on a physiological basis, when you're in that type of stress response, your hair stops growing. You're no longer ovulating. You're not digesting food. And your immune system's completely dumbed down, because your body is very efficient and sends all these resources to the places that it thinks it needs to deal with this mm-hmm. stressful situation to save your life. And for me, just, and for all of us, really, I mean, we have so many stress responses every single day, from
right.
a fight with our spouse to being late, you know, to work,
mm-hmm.
to getting stuck in traffic. I mean, it goes on and on and on,
mm-hmm.
That our stress response is triggered so much that our immune system is almost, you know, almost never running at 100%. And then we wonder why we're all getting sick and getting cancer and having all these autoimmune diseases that affect our lifestyle. So it's a slippery slope. But, yeah, I would say fear is a big one that I had to deal with and work on every single day.
Yeah, and fear is one of those. It's so basic, I think, to all of us. And so congratulations on having the courage, I think, to face it, although you probably feel like you maybe didn't have a choice.
Yeah, when I really understood, like, that concept I talked to you about before, about like the lion chasing the zebra, and how and how it affected my immune system and how much I needed my immune system, I had to get really, really serious about tackling that. And, you know, it
right.
would be anything from, like, I was, this sounds silly, but it would be anything from, I would get a lot of anxiety when I went to go get the mail. You know, we'd always, you know, having 100 employees and in the businesses that we do, you never know what you're going to get in the mail. And
mm-hmm.
and that will cause me some anxiety. And so it's like I had to start unwinding all of these things to kind of get a grip, because I was afraid of things that I didn't even really, like, give any conscious thought to. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm afraid to get the mail. I mean, I'm afraid to listen
yeah.
to my voicemail. I mean, come on,
right.
get a grip. And I really kind of felt like I couldn't cope with life, yet here I am, you know, running, you know, over the course
mm-hmm.
of my life, multiple successful businesses. So it's kind of a bizarre, you know, yin and yang of you don't know what's going on in somebody else's life, and somebody else that is successful, you know, in your eyes, you kind of see it through a keyhole, and
mm-hmm.
you see the parts that, you know, the car that they drive or the house that they live in. But there's a whole, all of us are so much more than that, and all of us have our
mm-hmm.
own baggage and own challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you think that women have more fear than men?
I don't know how to answer that question. I can tell you that you know, that cuts both ways. I think men have a lot of pressure on them. Obviously, those that support a family at home and they're the sole, you know, breadwinner.
Right.
Yeah, I think that would
right.
I think that would be really scary. Although
right.
on the flip side of that, I think it's probably more difficult to, you know, answer that question that cancer asked me, which is, do you need cancer in order to justify
mm-hmm.
making yourself a priority? Because as a mom, you know, there's so much going on all the time and you're always taking care of other people. It's really hard to say, okay, Sunday afternoon at 3:00, I'm taking a hot bath and that's it. You got to find your own right to soccer practice or whatever it is. I'm taking a nap for an hour when you feel tired, or really making that commitment to make sure you're eating quality, nutrient-dense food. You know, that's the other
mm-hmm.
thing, because we get rushed around so much that the options for us, we have to eat, the options for us out there to eat quickly are limited, and usually, you know, a poor nutritional choice is another sort of compromise to our system.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, hey, this has been fabulous, and I just wanted to give our audience a chance if they wanted to get hold of you. Marika, what's the best way for them to contact you if they want to?
Yeah, you can get to my website, and that is www.dealingwithhealing.com. I also offer a free 30-minute consultation for those people looking for life coaching or even in the midst of illness as well. I'm always looking to help people who are going through the trauma of that. And I have a ebook available on my website as well. And, of course, you can find me on Facebook at marika.hamilton and catch up with all the things I'm working on and all the appearances I have across the nation.
That
awesome.
Is so
well, thank
great.
You so much for joining us. Yeah, this has been fabulous.
Well,
thank
great.
You,
well,
Marika.
Thanks, guys.
We
have a great day. And
thank
I appreciate
you
guys, too. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amazing.
Yep. Now you can see why I wanted to have her on the show, because she
yes,
has such a unique and inspiring story. So.
Right. Exactly. That's amazing. And the journaling was a very interesting part of that story.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. I mean, I'm just kind of dumbfounded. It's very, very moving and
mm-hmm.
inspirational, you know. That's fabulous.
Well, I mean, this show is about transitions, and you know, that's a transition that sometimes
right.
happens. I mean, one of the podcasts that I just did recently was called, you know, Conquering Crisis. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, nobody ever plans for this stuff to happen, but,
right.
you know, sometimes
right.
it just does, and you have to
right.
meet it head on.
Right.
You know, it's always good to have contingency plans and things like that, but, you know, you just don't know when it's coming. And
right.
you know, the more you have your act together, the better you're suited to be able to deal with that. So this kind of just, you know, resonated with me because of that particular podcast. And then I have another one who's my guest expert is Phaedra Koenig, who's a crisis coach who helps people deal with that kind of
right.
stuff. So those are, you know, probably if you like this, you probably want to go listen to those two as well. Because it's just going to, they really kind of build on each other.
So Marika's, she does have an ebook, and her website is Dealing with Healing. And
mm-hmm.
she's very, very dynamic.
Yes. Yeah, very dynamic. She's a speaker and a coach. Like she said, she's got a book, an ebook. Yeah, just a great story. So we got a couple minutes left, Jan.
What are you going to do to stay out of trouble this week?
What I do every
week
there. Is work. Work. Do more work. Just finishing up my last class that I did, which was blogging for business. I got two more workbooks to finish up on that. And, you know, just kind of working on they've got so many podcasts in the can, I might start editing some of them early because I think I've got like 8 recorded and, you know, more coming down the line. So that's 2 months worth of podcasts right there.
yeah, that's great. So
yeah,
I'm rolling out a new program that I don't have details on yet because I'm still creating it, but it's going to be a 2-pronged approach for baby boomers. And it's very exciting. So I'm jazzed about that. So how to
Great.
Get baby boomers ready to go back into, give them training to go back into a very different workforce, meaning there'll be a technical training involved. And then the other side, the other prong, is to work with organizations and companies who need help and don't want to hire someone full-time, but they need people to come in and do projects and
mm-hmm.
do things for maybe 2 or 3 months. And that's where the people that I'll be working with come in. So it's a very
really
exciting program. Yeah,
yep.
It is. Yep.
Can't wait to hear more about it. So, Jan, you have yourself
yeah.
an awesome week, and
hey,
we will talk
too.
To you same bat time, same bat station.
Same bat station. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.